But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat plan for the people who are still alive.
All right, everybody, and welcome to...
Teller of the Tales. Dun, 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 dun,
the last audition episode.
So sad.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because we're going to have a rockin' season.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 people in so far, if I believe I count correctly.
Yes, and if everybody goes tonight, then that means we have a total of...
10!
Exactly.
Oh,
who's
God,
excited?
I actually got that right. No, seriously, I suck at math.
Okay. Seriously, you suck at 5 plus 5. Times 0.
Not like... That's 0.
Ah, wrong. It's 1.
What? No. 5 plus 5 is 10 times 0. Anything times 0 is 0. You can't do this to me, though.
Divided by 1. Aha. Uh-huh. Booyah.
You know what? Divide by 0 and just go die or something. I don't know.
Oh, she's good. I think I might be dead after this. I'm not sure.
I might kill him. You know, I put up with him for, what, 2 seasons already? Three. This is the 3rd season. You're not going to make it through this one, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I will.
Sure.
Who would you replace me? Seriously.
Rochelle.
I mean, actually replace me. I mean, come on. Nobody can replace me.
Yeah, someone could.
You know what? I'm irreplaceable.
Anyway.
I'm just that awesome. Okay. So back on track here. So this is should be an awesome season, actually.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So you guys, do you want to just let us just get this started here?
I think we should just get this started.
All right.
Just saying.
All right. Let's get this started with the first person up tonight. Ophicale, you're up first tonight. So take it away whenever you're ready.
The translation function is broken, but I'm still trying. I spend too much time in front of the terminal. A work path turns into a burnt landscape. Hate hyenas eat livers in a cupped hand.
Stop the music.
I touched warm oatmeal.
Stop it now.
Blue eyes have no... What? Okay. What was that? My Teller of Tales edition, Ophi, and I'm gonna have to do it again. No, I knew that part. I meant, what was that?
It's a real poetry!
Oh, God. So what do you think? You do realize the competition is fanfic this season?
Yes.
So you thought you'd do this?
Yes.
What have I become?
So you want to do the poem?
Okay, then. No. None of this stupid music.
Aw, come on, it's...
It's a real poetry!
It's just too weird.
Well, this is kind of a weird situation, you know.
No. I always have conversations with myself.
Well, I don't.
Just read the poem.
With the music?
Go on then.
Yay! Ophi, you're the best!
Even morons can disrupt the stew. In a widget world, the corner brick is crucial. I heard angels singing on a mount. I wanted to kill them. Carnival teeth can strip the conscience. The clamp screws close and crush the skull. Rats gnaw through wire meshes. A passing car is full of possibility. Angry days are like summers in Burma. Life hangs gauze curtains in front of its peep show. Where is the raw churn of turbines? Ah, my tongue craves you more than death. Creativity speaks through the prison phone. Safety glass crumbles into rubble. On impact, each footstep is a loud gunshot. Helium balloons won't keep clowns from the cliffside. Twisted sheets forge a weak bridge. I wonder whose eyes watch you. Streaking dandelions sting my feet. Where is heaven found? In a lintel closet. You keep leather shoes. Cambridge is a mile away. The skies ache to storm blood. Ecstasy can't contain you. Angels sing hymns on a mount. The arc of dawn closes. And everything begins anew.
Mm. All right, so Ophicale.
Dun dun dun.
So I'm not sure what to think of this.
Oh my God,
either.
Me too.
Only because of the fact of the matter is, I thought your telling of a tale, whatever it was, whether it was supposed to be slam poetry or whatever it was, I thought you actually did it really well. You did it really intensely.
Yeah.
You didn't even need that music.
No, you really didn't.
The music actually, I want to say the music in the behind it didn't really distract me either. So, I mean,
yeah.
This was an interesting thing because I said it did, I didn't say precisely in the actual thing that there was supposed to be no music or whatever in the background. So, but,
yeah.
So, in a way, so basically this is still allowed, but, and then all of a sudden you coming in and just saying blah, 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 having a conversation with yourself. You know, I really have to say you took a risk on this and I think it paid off. I actually really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, at first I really didn't know what to make heads or tails of. I think putting music in the background of your story is always kind of a dangerous move. It can really either make it or break you. We've had people in the past who've done it and it's destroyed their entries. It would have just been so much better if they didn't have it in the background. It really accented it the way you did it here. So it worked pretty well. I liked the voice acting conversation with yourself more than the poem, but that was just because, you know, I personally just didn't really care for the poem. But I know, I'm so horrible. But I liked the way you read the poem. I thought that was, it was like all like intense and like super serious. And having the people in the background break it up was kind of refreshing. However, I don't know how that would work later on within the different rounds. You know what I mean? Like doing that kind of voice acting playish stuff in later rounds.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, this is fanfics that we're going for this year.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest with you, because some weeks you're going to have to step it up and you're going to have to just, you know, take a really big risk. And I really think this was actually a really ballsy move to start off with, have that one
entry.
Thing. And then, you know what? I have to say, I just really liked it. Yeah, this was just really good.
Yeah. It was interesting to say the least for me. But anyways, I have nothing else left to say about this entry.
Neither do I. So
alrighty.
Wanna move on? Beloved Star, you're up next. So take it away.
It was terribly cold and nearly dark on the last evening of the old year, and the snow was falling fast. In the cold and the darkness, a poor little girl with bare head and naked feet roamed through the streets. It is true she had on a pair of slippers when she left home, but they were not of much use. They were very large, so large, indeed, that they had belonged to her mother, and the poor little creature had lost them in running across the street to avoid two carriages that were rolling along at a terrible rate. One of the slippers she could not find, and a boy seized upon the other and ran away with it, saying that he could use it as a cradle when he had children of his own. So the little girl went on with her little naked feet, which were quite red and blue with the cold. In an old apron she carried a number of matches, and had a bundle of them in her hands. No one had bought anything of her the whole day, nor had anyone given her even a penny. Shivering with cold and hunger, she crept along. Poor little child, she looked the picture of misery. The snowflakes fell on her long, fair hair, which hung in curls on her shoulders, but she regarded them not. Lights were shining from every window, and there was a savory smell of roast goose, for it was New Year's Eve. Yes, she remembered that. In a corner between two houses, one of which projected beyond the other, she sank down and huddled herself together. She had drawn her little feet under her, but she could not keep off the cold, and she dared not go home, for she had sold no matches, and could not take home even a penny of money. Her father would certainly beat her. Besides, it was almost as cold at home as here, for they had only the roof to cover them, through which the wind howled, although the largest holes had been stopped up with straw and rags. Her little hands were almost frozen with the cold. Ah, perhaps a burning match might be good, if she could draw it from the bundle and strike it against the wall, just to warm her fingers. She drew one out. Scratch! How it sputtered as it burnt! It gave a warm, bright light, like a little candle, as she held her hand over it. It was really a wonderful light. It seemed to the little girl that she was sitting by a large iron stove with polished brass feet and a brass ornament.
how the fire burned and seemed so beautifully warm that the child stretched out her feet as if to warm them, when lo, the flame of the match went out. The stove vanished, and she had only the remains of the half-burnt match in her hand. She rubbed another match on the wall. It burst into flame, and where its light fell upon the wall, it became as transparent as a veil, and she could see into the room. The table was covered with a snowy white tablecloth, on which stood a splendid dinner service with a steaming roast goose, stuffed with apples and dried plums. And what was still more wonderful, the goose jumped down from the dish and waddled across the floor with a knife and fork in its breast to the little girl. Then the match went out, and there remained nothing but the thick, damp, cold wall before her. She lighted another match, and then she found herself sitting under a beautiful Christmas tree. It was larger and more beautifully decorated than the one which she had seen through the glass door at the rich merchant's. Thousands of tapers were burning upon the green branches, and colored pictures, like those she had seen in the show windows, looked down upon it all. The little one stretched out her hands towards them, and then the match went out. The Christmas lights rose higher and higher, till they looked to her like the stars in the sky. Then she saw a star fall, leaving behind it a bright streak of fire. "Someone is dying," thought the little girl, for her old grandmother, the only one who had ever loved her, and who was now dead, had told her that when a star falls, a soul was going up to God. She again rubbed a match on the wall, and the light shone round her. In the brightness stood her old grandmother, clear and shining, yet mild and loving in her appearance. "Grandmother," cried the little one, "oh, take me with you! I know you will go away when the match burns out. You will vanish like the warm stove, the roast goose, and the large glorious Christmas tree." And she made haste to light the whole bundle of matches, for she wished to keep her grandmother there. And the matches glowed with a light that was brighter than the noonday, and her grandmother had never appeared so large or so beautiful. She took the little girl in her arms, and they both flew upwards in brightness and joy far above the earth, where there was neither cold, nor hunger, nor pain, for they were with God. In the dawn of morning there lay the poor little one, with pale cheeks and smiling mouth. The child still sat in the stiffness of death, holding the matches in her hand, one bundle of which was burnt. "She tried to warm herself," said some. No one imagined what beautiful things she had seen, nor into what glory she had entered with her grandmother on New Year's Day.
Yay! Beloved star. So I'm really familiar with this story. This story always makes me tear up. It's so sad. Personally, I know this is just a personal opinion, I think you could have maybe put a little bit more emotion in it, just kind of like really drive it home. But I liked the way you told the story, and I thought it was good. And I did enjoy it. Not many people... I don't know, like, it's such a sad story. Makes me sad.
Yeah, I have to admit, this was dark. I wasn't expecting, like, something like that. I mean, it was just like...
It's Hans Christian Andersen.
I was all like, his wow, dang. Man, really?
Yeah.
You should actually read more of his stuff.
Like, he wrote The Little Mermaid, and, like, in the real Little Mermaid, like, she gets turned into seafoam. Like, she technically dies.
Oh.
Yeah. Dang. And, like, there's, you know, the Tin Soldier?
Yeah.
The one-legged Tin Soldier? He and the ballerina get shoved into a fire and they burn.
Oh, dang. That's, I mean, I hate to say that's dark, but that's awesome.
I know. And then, like, as the maid is sweeping away the ashes, like, little hearts are found.
Huh. Like
that.
I have to, wow. So this is from Hans Christian Andersen. What you said?
Yeah, Hans Christian Andersen.
Thank you. I can't say the name. I have a hard time saying that name. I don't know why. But no, I would have to say this story was good. I mean, I'm not going to say the best one I've heard tonight, but I'm going to have to say it was good. It seemed at times, as you said, it did seem a little monotone at times. Where it just kind of was just there. It was like, okay, what's going on? And then... To be honest with you,
as it got towards the end, it really did kind of start driving home. So I think it was just kind of like maybe it's just a slow beginning. And with stories like this, you'll always kind of have that risk. And I think that with fan fiction, it's going to be a little bit more.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be a lot more interesting and a lot more misspelling.
And Mary Sue's.
Yes, and that too.
Okay.
All right. I got nothing else left to add, but this was good. I have to say.
Yeah. I enjoyed this. Thank you for reading this story.
All right. So, you done? Because I'm done.
Yep.
Awesome. So, let's move on to the next person.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mixed Up Guy, you're up next. So, take it away whenever you're ready.
The Mirror of Matsuyama. In ancient days, there lived in a remote part of Japan a man and his wife, and they were blessed with a little girl who was the pet and idol of her parents. On one occasion, the man was called away on business in distant Kyoto. Before he went, he told his daughter that if she were good and dutiful to her mother, he would bring back her a present she would prize very heavily. Then the good man took his departure, mother and daughter watching him go. At last he returned to home, and after his wife and child had taken off his large hat and sandals, he sat down upon the white mats and opened a bamboo basket, watching the eager gaze of his little child. He took out a wonderful doll and a lacquer box of cakes and put them into her outstretched hands. Once more he dived into his basket and presented his wife with a metal mirror. Its convex surface shone brightly, while upon its back there was a design of pine trees and storks. The good man's wife had never seen a mirror before, and on gazing into it she was under the impression that another woman looked out upon her as she gazed with growing wonder. Her husband explained the mystery and bade her take great care of the mirror. Not long after this happy homecoming and distribution of presents, the woman became very ill. Just before she died, she called to her little daughter and said, "Dear child, when I am dead, take every care of your father. You will miss me when I have left you, but take this mirror, and when you feel most lonely, look into it, and you will always see me." Having said these words, she passed away. In due time, the man married again, and his wife was not at all kind to her stepdaughter. But the little one, remembering her mother's words, would retire to a corner and eagerly look into the mirror, where she seemed to her that she saw her dear mother's face, not drawn in pain as she had seen it on her deathbed, but young and beautiful. One day, this child's stepmother chanced to see her crouching in a corner over an object she could not quite see, murmuring to herself. This ignorant woman, who detested the child and believed that her stepdaughter detested her in return, fancied that this little one was performing some strange magical art, perhaps making an image and sticking pins into it. Full of these notions, the stepmother went to her husband and told him that his wicked child was doing her best to kill her by witchcraft. When the master of the house had listened to this extraordinary recital, he went straight to his daughter's room. He took her by surprise, and immediately the girl saw him, she slipped the mirror into her sleeve. For the first time, her doting father grew angry, and he feared that there was, after all, truth in what his wife had told him, and repeated her tale forthwith. When his daughter had heard this unjust accusation, she was amazed at her father's words, and she told him that she loved him far too well to ever attempt or wish to kill his wife, who she knew was dear to him. "What have you hidden in your sleeve?" said her father, only half convinced and still much puzzled. "The mirror you gave my mother, which she on her deathbed gave to me. Every time I look into its shining surface, I see the face of my dear mother, young and beautiful. When my heart aches, and oh, it has ached so much lately, I take out the mirror, and mother's face, sweet, kind smile, brings me peace, and helps me bear hard words and cross looks." Then the man understood, and loved his child the more for her filial piety. Even the girl's stepmother, when she knew what had really taken place, was ashamed and asked forgiveness. And this child, who believed she had seen her mother's face in the mirror, forgave, and trouble forever departed from the home.
All right, so Mixed Up Guy. I have to say, I actually didn't mind this one. What do I want to go with this? Why do I want to start with this? with some of this, there's actually a couple of things I would say that was a little bit negative about this was the fact that it was... Sometimes it sounded a little bit hard to understand what words you were saying. it was very few and far between of the words you were saying. Sometimes you slurred some words together. But other than that, actually, I thought this was actually really good, too. Because especially right when he changed tone, he, like, changed his complete tone when he said that that her mother, like, something was going to happen right there. That really, really caught my attention really well. And I don't know, I really liked his tone throughout the whole thing.
I liked his voice. It's like that, like, nice, deep
voice.
I enjoyed it. I love fairy tales. I love stories from around the world. And the fact that I love the Japanese culture makes the story even more happiness for me. I have to say, I had to listen to this twice because the first time I tried doing this, it was my file was all messed up, so you kept on like skipping every other word. But the second time was immensely better because it was actually complete. Overall, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was nice. It was very relaxing to listen to. So yeah.
All right. So I got nothing else left to add. Do you? All right, so let's move on to the next person. Next up is Brandon Sparkman. So take it away whenever you're ready.
Thy soul shall find itself alone, mid dark thoughts of the gray tombstone. Not one of all the crowd to pry into thine hour of secrecy. Be silent in that solitude, which is not loneliness, for then the spirits of the dead, who stood in life before thee, are again in death around thee, and their will shall overshadow thee. Be still. The night, though clear, shall frown, and the stars shall not look down. From their high thrones in the heaven, with light like hope to mortals given, but their red orbs without beam to thy weariness shall seem, as a burning and a fever which would cling to thee forever. Now are thoughts thou shalt not banish, now are visions ne'er to vanish. From thy spirit shall they pass, no more like dewdrop from the grass. The breeze and the breath of God is still, and the mist upon the hill, shadowy, shadowy, yet unbroken, is a symbol and a token, how it hangs upon the trees, a mystery of mysteries.
All right, so Brandon Sparkman. I want to say that if you were trying to go intense, really, really, really intense, you were on this thing, cause I'm not sure what this was about either. I'm not 100% sure, because this was really kind of, I mean, this is probably our shortest one we've had so far.
Yeah.
At like 2 minutes, but
it's a lot of intenseness to pack into.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was not really much of a variety in this thing. There was just basically you on one flat level, which, to be honest with you, what I was thinking of, like, when you were doing each line, it would be in a club where all of a sudden you hear this thing, get done with a line, say another line, something like that. I mean, unless you were trying to go for something like that, I mean, which is possible, but I don't know, it just seemed really one-lined.
Yeah. Like, I can tell you're trying to go really super serious, and I kind of feel bad because this is like the season where Teller to Tales is kind of taking a break from our kind of serious streak. Like, we're still being serious, but we're trying to have a little bit more fun with our themes. So they're not as, like, intense. Like, you know, a couple seasons back, we would have things like, you know, reading scary stories or horror or all this, you know, different types of things. And I just think that, I mean, it's going to be kind of rough to hear you with this type of intensity in the way that you're reading this with a fan fiction, unless you find one that was specifically catered for something like this. However, I have a feeling, like, first off, I want to say hi, because you're from the VAA, and it makes me really super excited, because normally, I don't know, it's like, it's just always exciting to see someone new, so. and,
yeah,
I kind of really want to, I would kind of really want to see you have a little bit more fun with your entries. I don't know if you had fun with this or not, but just, like, it was so intense, I was just like, wow, this is really intense. Like, I didn't really think much else. Like, I want to hear some pops and brightness. And I think that the fan fiction season that this is will probably bring that out. So, yeah, but that's it for me.
Yeah. I got nothing left to add other than that. So,
nope.
Who's I'm done. Next? All right. So, let's move on. Last but not least, The Artichoke, you're up next, so take it away!
The thousand injuries of Fortunato I had borne as best I could, but when he ventured upon insult, I vowed revenge. You, who so well know the nature of my soul, will not suppose, however, that gave utterance to a threat. At length I would be avenged. This was a point definitely settled. But the very definiteness with which it was resolved precluded the idea of risk. I must not only punish, but punish with impunity. A wrong is unredressed when retribution overtakes its redresser. It is equally unredressed when the avenger fails to make himself felt as such to him who has done the wrong. It must be understood that neither by word nor deed had I given Fortunato cause to doubt my good will. I continued, as was my in, to smile in his face, and he did not perceive that my smile now was at the thought of his immolation. He had a weak point, this Fortunato. Although in other regards he was a man to be respected and even feared. He prided himself on his connoisseurship in wine. Few Italians have the true virtuoso spirit. For the most part their enthusiasm is adopted to suit the time and opportunity to practice imposture upon the British and Austrian millionaires. In painting and gemmery, Fortunato, like his countrymen, was a quack, but in the matter of old wines he was sincere. In this respect I did not differ from him materially. I was skillful in the Italian vintages myself, and bought largely whenever I could. It was about dusk, one evening during the supreme madness of the carnival season, that I encountered my friend. He accosted me with excessive warmth, for he had been drinking much. The man wore motley. He had on a tight-fitting party-striped dress, and his head was surmounted by the conical cap and bells. I was so pleased to see him that I thought I should never have done wringing his hand. I said to him, "My dear Fortunato, you are luckily met. How remarkably well you are looking today. But I have received a pipe of what passes for Amontillado, and I have my doubts." "How?" he said. "Amontillado? A pipe? Impossible, and in the middle of the carnival." "I have my doubts," I replied. "And I was silly enough to pay the full Amontillado price without consulting you in the matter. You were not to be found, and I was fearful of losing a bargain." "Amontillado? I have my doubts." "Amontillado? And I must satisfy them." "Amontillado! As you are engaged, I am on my way to Lucchese. If anyone has a critical turn, it is he. He will tell me—" "Lucchese cannot tell Amontillado from sherry. And yet some fools will have it that his taste is a match for your own. Come, let us go." "Whither?" "To your vaults." "My friend, no, I will not impose upon your good nature. I perceive you have an engagement. Lucchese—" "I have no engagement. Come." "My friend, no, it is not the engagement, but the severe cold with which I perceive you are afflicted. The vaults are insufferably damp. They are encrusted with nitre." "Let us go, nevertheless. The cold is merely nothing. Amontillado! You have been imposed upon. And as for Lucchese, he cannot distinguish sherry from Amontillado." Thus speaking, Fortunato possessed himself of my arm, and putting on a mask of black silk and drawing a roquelaire closely about my person, I suffered him to hurry me to my palazzo.
All right, so The Artichoke. I don't know what to think of this. Man, there's so much things I don't know what to think of. I'm kind of neutral on this. I liked it, and yet I don't know why I might have not liked it at the same time. If that makes sense. Yeah, I can't figure out why I didn't like it per se, but so let's just say I liked it. This was, you know, this was actually a pretty good story. You had really, really, really good, I want to say, tone to it. Your tone changed up and down, which, to be honest with you, that was awesome. Which usually is awesome when someone changes tone. But overall, this was actually a really good story. I liked it. I don't know what it was. It might have been the story I didn't care for. I did not particularly care for. I don't know. But overall, I would say this was a pretty good one. Livy?
My turn. Whoa. Oh my gosh.
Sheesh.
Hi.
Whoa, you came out of nowhere. Sheesh.
I had to meet real quick. Shut up, Zane. You're so mean to me. He's making fun of me, like, during the breaks.
I would never do that.
Shut up, you basketball lover, you. Anyway, Zane kind of hit it a bit. I've never really... I think this is Poe, right? This is Poe?
Sure. I have no idea.
I don't know. I know I've read this story before, though. It's a very interesting story, but I like the voice acting. It gave a little bit of a spunk to it. It was nice. I don't know. I think we've had a lot of interesting submissions this time around. It's been kind of like, what do you think of this?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit that that's been that. But out of all the submissions that we've had, none of them have been bad.
Yeah.
None of them been to the point where it was just like, it doesn't sound like no effort was ever done or anything like that. And you know what? That's awesome.
I enjoy it.
And you know what that means? If everyone goes through tonight, you know what that means, don't you?
10 people on?
There could possibly be, we could go for 9 rounds.
See, the thing is I really don't, you know what I mean? Like, that'd be awesome if we were able to, but I don't think, you know, like.
But, yeah, okay, so we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Do you got anything more to add to the artichoke?
No.
All right, so let's move on to the results. All right, so let's start off with the first person up. That was Opal. I mean,
Opal.
Thank you. She's appalled by that.
She probably will be.
I'm sorry, Opal. My bad. First person up was Opal. Yeah, me messing up those stupid names. How did I mess that up?
I don't know. Because you're lame.
I'm not lame. I'm awesome.
You just messed up Opal's name. Oh, hush. I'm probably messing it up like right now. So,
hopefully we're pronouncing your name right now. So, but I'm gonna say yes.
Yes.
All right. So, welcome, Opal. Welcome. So, beloved star, what do you say?
Oh.
What do you say? What are you saying about beloved star? Are you saying yes? No.
Yeah, I'm saying yes.
It wasn't coming through.
Well, I was saying yes.
In your mind? Yes. Okay, yes. Good. Got it.
I was so shocked by the loveliness.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say yes too. So,
yeah.
Congrats, beloved star. All right, and moving on to up next was mixed up guy. I'm gonna have to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
All of the skippingness involved.
Yeah.
And we're talking to you, Google. We're talking to you.
Yeah, we think it was Google.
It's got to be Google.
It's Google's fault.
All right, so welcome, mixed up guy. All right, so up that
yes.
I hadn't say who was next.
I don't care.
Brandon Sparkman.
I knew who was up next.
I'm gonna have to say, I'm gonna go with a yes on this one.
I'm really hopeful.
And with this, I'm just gonna say that, you know, it's not the fact that we want more people on the show that does kind of conclude to this, but I think you could possibly show us more with this, especially with fan fiction, and show us what you're capable of.
Here's the reason why I'm so excited about Brandon is because I kind of feel like I haven't seen what he can really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of just like, yes, I want him on the show because I want to see more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. So, okay. All right. So, and the last one up, it was the artichoke.
This is going to be hard.
Oh, man. I've got my answer. What about you?
Yep.
I'm going to go no. Yes. I'm going with yes. So the
really?
Artichoke, you are in.
I was going to say, Zane. You jerk.
I am a jerk, but hey, the artichoke, if you're still listening to this, please do not kill me. You made it through.
It's okay. You don't have to kill him because I'll kill him later on in the season. Trust me.
No.
It happens at least once a season. Zane dies.
Oh, I die? Since when do I die?
I don't know. Season 1, episode 7, and season 2, episode 3.
What are you talking about? The finales?
Okay.
All right. So, out of all this stuff, so this is it. This is going into the main round.
We're going into the main round. Okay, so to review this competition, we're solely concentrating on fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Dylan. Yes, we're giving you a specific shout-out since you were upset that you did not get your shout-out before.
Yes.
He did suggest this.
Yes.
And it's going to be really fun. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
So again, to review, we're going to do fan fictions. And the catch is that each round that you win, you get to pick the theme for the fan fiction of the next round. So, because we have had no winners, like, per se, like, right now, Zane and I have come together, we've made up a theme, and we're going to make it a really broad one to make it kind of easy for y'all to find a story. I do not want to hear anyone complain that they cannot find a story. The theme is, Zane, do you want to tell?
Disney.
Yes, it is Disney. The classic, the amazing Disney.
Disney in general. If you want to have a fan fiction about somebody going off on any of the Disney pop singers, go for it.
Disney
go
pop singers.
It.
We're talking
Disney,
about
anything
Disney
goes.
Movies, crossovers between Disney works.
Yes.
And we're also including Kingdom Hearts into that because Kingdom Hearts was a bit of a Disney thing.
Actually is fully Disney, so.
Yeah, it is fully Disney, isn't it?
Even though that was made by the same company who does Final Fantasy, but still.
Yeah, it is actually a Disney thing.
So
definitely, we'd love to hear you guys come up with some great fan fictions and some great stories. We look forward to all your entries. And when will they be due, Zane?
They will be due Saturday night at 11:59 p.m. You guys will be getting emails for that. So... yeah, so you guys are going to be getting those emails pretty darn soon. Actually, after about probably, if you're listening to this today, think about it later today.
Yeah.
During when everyone else has been able to hear this before everything else. So, yeah.
Well, I think that we need to send out the emails.
We just need to send them out as fast as possible so that people can actually select their fanfics.
We look forward to all your entries.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And remember, the cake was a lie.
Zane, quit trying to squeeze in Portal into everything. It's not working.
You know what?
Stop it.
You know what?
Stop.
You know what?
You always do this each season. Stop.
Wait. What?
Stop.
What's wrong with me saying cake is a lie?
It is a Portal thing. It has been overdone for a couple years now.
I do not care. It's funny.
Zane. This is Teller of the Tales. This is a Portal.
Yeah.
Save it for a podcast.
Fine.
Good.
Eh.
See what I have to work with? Anywho.
So we'll see you guys next time.
Bye,
everyone.
As long
as I don't get killed. See ya.